The power of the cross. Wonderful. Open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible with you, look under the chair in front of you. We've provided one. And my text is page 1580 in that Bible. But Romans chapter 1. You know, as Christians, we gather every Sunday because that's the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So we really celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. But our culture has appointed a specific day of the year to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that is Easter Sunday. And that's why we've gathered together today. And so today I want to talk about the significance of the resurrection. Why do we celebrate this? Why is this so important to us? Look at Romans chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, given these words by the Holy Spirit of God, he writes, Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Apostles were very unique figures. There were only 13 of them. One of them was bad, and what was his name? Judas. And so the apostle Paul, he was one born out of due time, and we're going to see that in a minute. But another apostle was called. His name was Matthias. But Paul is an apostle. And it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So the apostle Paul, he was separated. He was set apart for a specific purpose. This is what he was made for, was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be looking at that today, because, and Paul said that God had promised that in the Holy Scriptures, so that would be the Old Testament, verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, don't miss that. David had to come from a specific family, from a specific family line, and he had to have flesh and bones. He couldn't just be a spirit. How many of you know that God is a spirit? You can't see God. No man's seen God at any time. And so Jesus Christ had to become a man, verse 4, speaking of Jesus, and was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He was proclaimed to be God, to be holy by his resurrection from the dead. Let's pray. Lord, help us to understand the significance of your resurrection today. Lord, thank you so much that you have given us this opportunity to hear your word, to study it, and to worship you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you about the significance of the resurrection. So the nature of Christianity, is spiritual. All right, so Acts 17:24 says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, listen to what it says, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. So our faith is a spiritual faith. So we call this a pulpit. It's just wood. There's nothing spiritual about this, right? But we don't have, this building is just a building. There's nothing holy about this building. The tabernacle was a holy place, right? The temple was a holy place, and it needed to be treated in a certain way. The Ark of the Covenant was a holy object, because in the Old Testament, that faith was a physical faith. It required a physical sacrifice brought to a physical altar at a physical location. Why? Because men have sinned physically. And in our flesh, we are sinners. But all of that pointed to the ultimate sacrifice that the ladies just sang about. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, where he suffered on that cross for us. But the nature of Christianity is spiritual. We don't have holy cities. Now, I've had the opportunity to go to Jerusalem. I've had the opportunity to go to Rome. I've been able to see some of these historic sites that are so significant for us as Christians, and it's wonderful to see those things. I love it. I get to go back to Europe, Lord willing, again here in May, helping with a historical tour over there, and I'm just excited to go and see that stuff again. I get to go and see some early papyrus copies of the scriptures in Dublin as we go over to see the Blackfords over in Belfast. I'm glad I get to see those documents, but my faith is not in those pieces of paper. We don't worship those pieces of paper. God is not in paper. God exists. And here's what the Bible says. So God's not worshipped in temples made with hands. But the Bible says of Christians, of believers, that you are the temple of God. When a person is born again, the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell in them. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil in the temple was rent in two, giving us access to God. We no longer have to go to God through a priest. We can go to God through Jesus Christ, our high priest. Isn't that wonderful? We can pray. We can pray for each other. We can go to the Father through Jesus Christ, and none of you have to go through me. Isn't that good? I am not necessary for your salvation. Only Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection are required for your salvation. It's wonderful. So the nature of Christianity is spiritual, not physical. We don't have holy places. We don't have holy buildings. We don't have holy anything other than the Holy One, Jesus Christ. So, the nature of Christianity is spiritual, but the requirement of the law was physical. Remember, under the law, they had to bring a spotless lamb and sacrifice that spotless lamb. If they couldn't afford a lamb, they had to bring a pigeon. They had to bring something else. But there was a physical requirement. Why? Because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Your sins can only be taken away by spotless blood. But the Bible also tells us in the book of Hebrews that none of those sacrifices could wash away sin. They could cover the sin for a little while. But those sacrifices couldn't take away sin. It took the sacrifice of the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. The only problem is the Bible says God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. As I said a minute ago, the Bible says no man has seen God at any time. God's a spirit. You can't see a spirit. And so, how is man going to be saved? We read this verse at Christmas time, of course. But let me give you this one other thing. The requirement of the law was physical. It required a physical spotless sacrifice. Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament tells us why that sacrifice would be necessary and who it was. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So on the cross, the punishment that I deserved was put on Jesus Christ. My chastisement was put on him, and it had to be a physical thing. But as we've said, God is not physical. So what did God do? Luke 1:35. And the angel answered, talking to Mary, and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Can you imagine you have a baby? What'd you call him? Thing. How many of you think of your baby, you don't think of a thing? Fantastic Four, was it? Is that thing Fantastic Four? And I've seen some babies that kind of look like thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Not all babies are cute. You know that. So, you see my baby? What? Why does the Bible describe Jesus as a holy thing? Because God had never been a thing before. And Jesus Christ took on flesh and bones. That's what happened at his birth. And why was the virgin birth necessary? Because the Bible says, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the sin is passed through the human race, through the men. And so Jesus Christ was born of woman without the need of a human father. That's the significance of the virgin birth. So that Jesus Christ could be the holy, sinless, spotless Son of God. And he could die for us. So Christianity, it's in its nature, it's spiritual, it's not physical. But the requirement of the law was physical. It required a physical, spotless sacrifice. And so Jesus Christ came and became that for us. But here's what's fun. Yes, our faith is spiritual. And we have to believe by faith, not seeing. We have to believe by faith. And yet the object of our faith is actually physical. Jesus Christ came in a physical body, born of a virgin. Jesus Christ died in that physical body on the cross. That body was placed in a borrowed tomb, and that physical body rose from the dead, proving that Jesus Christ was, is, and always will be God. That's what our text in Romans 1 says in verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ rising from the dead proved that he was, is, and always will be God. So the nature of Christianity is spiritual, but the object of our faith is physical. Jesus Christ rose from the dead bodily. In Luke 24:39, after his resurrection, they thought that he was a spirit. They saw him. Now, let's be honest. If you knew somebody had died, and then 3 days later they walked into your room, would that freak you out? And what would you think? In the South, they call him a haint. It's a ghost. What? It's his ghost. Now, I got to tell you, I would be freaked out if a ghost walked in front of me. And so that's why Jesus Christ, listen to what Jesus said in Luke 24:39. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Jesus Christ rose again physically and bodily. And here's what's fun. You know, there are people, I'm sure that there are things on the History Channel today or whatever, that are going to say that the resurrection is a myth, that it's just a story that was told over and over and over again. Well, there are evidences for the resurrection. There are more. When you study antiquity, when you look at historical accounts, historical accounts, there are different evidences for historical accounts than for the physical sciences. So someone could analyze this and find out that it's maple. That's the kind of wood this is, that it's maple. There's no physical test for something that happened in the past. And so we use different evidences. We use historical evidences. And for many things in history, going all the way back 2,000 years when this was going on during the Roman Empire, for many historical accounts, there's only one document to validate that historical event. And yet those things are still considered the truth of history. There are more than 9 specific individual evidences in antiquity for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And there are several things that prove it. The first is the empty tomb. The other is that it was the tomb, and the story happens in Jerusalem. And so people would, if someone said Jesus rose from the dead, well, they knew Joseph of Arimathea. They knew where Joseph's tomb was. They could go to that tomb and see whether or not Jesus was in that tomb. Even the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they knew the tomb was empty because they told people to say they've stolen his body. Why would they have to say they've stolen his body? Because his body was gone. And how could they steal the body with Roman soldiers stationed in front of the tomb? Those Roman soldiers, can you imagine? I'm here. I've not gone anywhere. Well, he's gone. You see, the fact of the resurrection, the empty tomb. How about the witnesses? So back in those early days, women couldn't testify in court. Their testimony wasn't trusted. So this is called embarrassing testimony. The first people to testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ were women. And understand, in that day, no one would put up women as their testimony unless it was true. And so, the first people to testify of the resurrection of Jesus Christ were ladies. And of course, the apostles didn't believe it. They ran and checked, but they still weren't sure. They didn't believe in the resurrection until Jesus Christ appeared in front of them. But he did appear. And so you have the empty tomb. You have the embarrassing testimony. But then you have the appearances of Jesus Christ. Appearance after appearance after appearance after appearance. And even to the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul said, he appeared to me as to one out of due time. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. So if you're using one of our Bibles, it's just the next book of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 1. First Corinthians 15 and verse 1. And this, what we're going to read here, it's kind of a cool thing. We'll read it, and then I'll tell you a little bit about it. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, wherein also ye have received and wherein ye stand. So the gospel is preached, the gospel is also received, by which also ye are saved. So you're saved not by your works. You can't be saved by anything you do. You're saved by the gospel. What does it mean to be saved? Well, if you ever fell in some water and you couldn't get out and someone pulled you out, you were saved. We all understand that. If your car is turned over and it's on fire and somebody pulls you out of that fire, that you have been saved from that fire. What is a person saved from by the gospel? They're saved from getting what they deserve. Be honest, how many of you are for justice? If someone murders someone, justice requires punishment. Y'all agree with that? Right? We are for justice. And God is the most just being in the world. As a matter of fact, as the creator of the world, God put justice into the world itself. Here's how justice works. I don't believe in gravity. And so I go up on top of the building and jump off. What happens? Do I just float away because I don't believe in gravity? No. There's justice. There's reality. There are consequences built into the universe. That's justice. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 2 that God, when men do right, even men who do not know God or God's law. How many of you know you don't have to know the Bible to know the difference between right and wrong? Right? Why? Because God has written his law on their hearts. So if I grabbed one of these little children and started trying to hurt one of these little children, then every man in this room would come forward to stop me, but they'd have to get past the women. Because all you mama bears, I would be in big trouble, right? No one has to teach you that. God's written that on your heart. That's justice. And God is the most just being that has ever existed. He is the one who established justice. And he must punish sin. He doesn't have a choice. If he doesn't punish the sin, he is not just. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's why it had to be a physical punishment. Jesus Christ paid our punishment. So, 1 Corinthians 15, that gospel, verse 2, by which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. See, believing in the resurrection isn't enough. Look at what it says. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and verse 8, as I've referenced twice already, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. So I said, it requires more than belief in the resurrection. See, the Bible says that the devils, the demons, believe in Jesus. They know who he is. Knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the dead is important. But somehow that sacrifice has to be applied to your account. The Bible says that Jesus tasted death for every man. That means Jesus died for you. He died for me. If I was the only person in the world, Jesus would have died for me. If you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have died for you. Why? Because he loves you. See, it required a physical death. Romans 5:8 says it this way, but God commendeth, he proved his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That it required a physical death. And Jesus did that for you. He did it for me. So somehow that sacrifice has to be applied to my account. How does it become applied to my account? When I ask him to apply it to my account. When I say, Jesus, I believe that you're God. I believe that you died for my sin. And here's the important part, folks. Do you believe that your sin is bad enough to take you to hell, to separate you from God forever? Because you understand, that's what we deserve. That's justice. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. What we deserve for sinning is death. And then Revelation 21:8 defines that as the lake of fire, the second death. That's what we deserve. I don't know, Easter is such a wonderful celebration, isn't it? But it's the celebration of Jesus conquering death. Physical death for himself, and he conquered eternal death for me. I don't have to experience that eternal death, and neither do you. That is the good news of the gospel. So the proof of Christianity is physical. Jesus died physically. Jesus rose from the dead physically, bodily. But he also ascended to the right hand of the Father physically and bodily. Acts chapter 1 says it this way, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Can you imagine? Jesus said, okay, you're going to be witnesses of me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. And then he just ascended. And they watched him. What would you do? Just watched him. And then two angels are there. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Isn't that a silly question? But listen to what he said. Listen to what they said. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Jesus Christ ascended bodily. Right now, Jesus, in his body, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. See, that's why you don't confess your sin to me. That's why I don't need a priest. I have a high priest, Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible says. Seeing that we have a high priest that's ascended into the heaven. The Bible says it this way. There's one God and one mediator, intercessor, go-between. There's one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. You see, in his body, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And in his body, he's coming back again. The significance of the resurrection. See, our faith is of a physical sacrifice, of a physical resurrection, of a physical ascension, and of a physical second coming. Jesus Christ is going to return. So the nature of Christianity is spiritual. The requirement of the law was physical. But the actual essence of Christianity is the resurrection. You see, this resurrection of Jesus Christ is necessary for my salvation. It's required. Romans 10:9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. What does it mean to confess? When you say, this is what I believe. This is what I have done. This is my statement. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. But you can't just say some words. It's not abracadabra. Remember Aladdin and abracadabra and all that? That's not what this is. You have to believe it with your heart. How many of you have ever said something that you didn't believe? Yeah. Does this dress make me look fat? Not with my wife. Never with my wife. Right? We've all said something we don't believe. So the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, what? That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you might be saying, Pastor, you said a minute ago that you have to believe in more than the resurrection. No. What I said was the resurrection is not enough. That's what I said. You have to believe that the resurrection, just believing that the resurrection took place is not enough. If you believe the resurrection took place, but you also believe that you have to be a good person, that's not salvation. If you believe that the resurrection took place, but you also believe that you have to bring money to the church, that's not salvation. If you believe in the resurrection, but you also believe that you have to take communion to be saved, that's not salvation. If you believe in the resurrection, but you also believe that you have to be baptized, that's not salvation. Now, how many of you know that baptism is important in a Baptist church? It has nothing to do with your salvation, other than it's a testimony to say, I am saved. You see, the resurrection is enough. It is enough. But it's that alone. His death, burial, and resurrection alone. That's the only thing that can save you. The essence of Christianity is the resurrection. And in Romans 4 and verse 24, Paul's talking about how Abraham was justified and he came to the Father. But Romans 4:24 says, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. So that righteousness of Jesus is imputed to us. It's put on us because we don't have any righteousness of our own. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Rhetorical question. Of course it was. Then look at what it says. It's verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That justification, that's not a word that we use a lot. What does it mean to be justified? It means that in the sight of God, based on the sacrifice of Jesus, you are declared righteous, not guilty. Because here's the problem. We're all guilty. The Bible says, if any man says he has not sinned, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. I've only met one person in my life who said they'd never sinned. And I think she was nuts. Can we all just testify for a second? How many of you have ever told a lie? Would you raise your hand? I've asked somebody, people that, and it happens all the time. You ever told a lie? Nope. And then I say, there's another one, and they laugh because they know they're lying. Right? We've all told lies. How many of you have ever taken something that wasn't yours? How many of you ever got paid for an hour of work and you didn't actually work? Yeah, that's called stealing. Right? Those are sins. And remember, any sin, the Bible says it this way, sin is a transgression of the law. And then the Bible says that if you violate it in one little point, you violated all of it. And we laugh about it because, you know, some of that stuff's funny because it's the human condition. We're all sinners, right? But what I think we fail to recognize is the significance of that sin and the eternal punishment that results from it for everyone. Because here's what we say, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as, and we can always point to somebody else, right? I'm certainly not as bad as Chad. And we all know that, right? Listen, doesn't matter. I can't compare myself to Chad. I have to compare myself to Jesus. And that's why the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't reach it. We can't reach it. That's the significance of the resurrection. Jesus Christ rose from the dead for our justification. The only way that I can be justified, declared righteous, declared by God to be not guilty, to have the opportunity to enter into heaven and into God's family, the only way that I can do that is because of Jesus. And if he hadn't risen from the dead, then the Bible says, then we are still dead in our sins. But he did rise. And because he lives, we can live also. That's what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. So, Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, being justified by faith, he rose from the dead for our justification. That's chapter 4 and verse 25. Chapter 5 and verse 1, the next verse, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he rose for our justification. That justification is applied to us. It's granted to us by faith. Faith in what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's enough. Let's all stand together. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for us. And thank you that it is enough. Lord, I imagine that here in this room, I think everybody in this room is religious. I would imagine just about everyone in this room believes in your death, your burial, and in your resurrection. But there might be some here today who have never believed that that's enough. Father, I pray that they'll come to that belief, that understanding today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you what repentance is. Repentance is a change of mind. And you know the Bible says that we're supposed to repent. Repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. It's a change of mind about what you were believing. You might be here and you have been believing in the death, burial, and resurrection, but you also believed you needed to do something else. You need to repent of that. You need to change your mind and say, pray to God. You don't have to pray to me. Just pray to Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I repent. I thought that I needed to do something else. What you did is enough. It's enough. Please save me. If you'll do that today, he will save you. Isn't that wonderful? How many of you have done that? Would you raise your hand? You have done that. That's what salvation is. That's why I can stand here today and tell you, I get to go to heaven. My salvation is 100% sure. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I died right now, if I never made it to my house today, I know that I'm going to heaven. Why? Because my salvation is based on Jesus, not on me. See, the difference between religion and Christianity is this. Religion is do. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. Christianity is, it's done. Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead. I believe that. Please, Jesus, save me. That's it. It's receiving it as a gift, not something that you can earn. I hope that if you're not saved, that today will be the day of your salvation.